This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's glad to have everybody here today. Glad to have our visitors. And hope you find our worship service acceptable and we'll come back and visit. August is supposed to be never alone. I went through the remaining scriptures that we had on that, and I didn't really find any more that added on to what I had talked about last week, and so we're doing something different today. So go ahead and finish reading those if you haven't gone through those scriptures. September's sheet is in the back, finding your purpose. But those are sitting back there. I just put 25 back there this morning. So feel free to pick those up and read through those and be ready for next week when we'll talk about finding your purpose. Today, we're going to do something that I'd had set aside, and I decided to bring it up today. And it's talking about boredom. Boredom. Some of us know that and some of us don't. A recent survey says that 54% of all Americans, 54% of all Americans go to work because they find home to be boring. And you might not be one of those. You know, you go to work to make money, you go to work, but there are those who find home so bored that they'd rather be at work. Okay? Have you ever known somebody who took a staycation, you know, took vacation and just stayed at home, but were so bored at home that they couldn't wait to get back to work? Believe it or not, there are those that are that way. To me, I'd rather be at home and doing all the things that are piling up my honey-do list and everything. Okay, I don't want to do those. But, you know, doing the things that, you know, around the house that keep piling up because I don't have time to do them. Okay? But there are those who would rather be at work. One quarter of all teenagers say they drink on the weekend to deal with the boredom of nothing to do. Okay? Unfortunately, the church is not immune to boredom. There are some who think that if you heard one sermon, that you've heard them all. And that's the reason, I hope none of you think that, that's the reason that I change my sermons around. We've looked at a couple of Old Testament books and have gone through those, Ecclesiastes and Habakkuk. We've been going through these sheets, which is a different subject, every month, and looking at those, you know, as a series. We've looked at different things, like today, okay, to try to keep it interesting, to try to keep it to where it's not boring. We have been to congregations to where it was hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized almost every Sunday. You know, and it's one thing once in a while to remind us of those, and we covered that those lessons, okay? But it was every single Sunday, it was the same thing. Which, I mean, it's not bad, we need to hear it, but sometimes you want something else, and people get bored of that same thing over and over and over again. The truth is that there are some people that are bored with their Christianity. And the problem is that boredom will sidetrack us as a Christian. So in an effort to keep us active and alive in our Christian life, God has given us some principles to follow so that boredom doesn't set in our Christianity. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 15, "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner. They're not working at all, but are busybodies." Okay? So, you know, a couple thousand years ago, they were having this problem in the church, that there were people in the church who were not doing anything. And they're a busybody. What is a busybody? That's where you have nothing else to do, and you're more interested in what other people are doing and talking about them than finding something else for you to do. In verse 12, "Now those who are such, we command you and command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." First of all, we are commanded not to let boredom set into our Christian lives. The words that strike me are not working at all, but are busybodies. And I'm not just saying that you have to go to work. Okay, you don't have to go, you know, punch the clock every day. But they're not doing anything at all with their lives. If we get bored in our Christianity, it is then we get ourselves into trouble. The busybodies are those who are idle. So what are we to do to overcome boredom so that we don't find ourselves getting sidetracked to our Christianity gets put on the side and we do other things? Continuing on, verse 13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Doesn't specify what that good is. But we as Christians should be doing good. Good to our family, to our Christian brothers and sisters. Okay? Doing good to others. We talked about that this morning in class, about loving our neighbors as ourselves. Okay? Doing good to other people. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because in doing good, as we're going to read, we're showing that we are Christians. We're showing the love of God. Verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, okay, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Don't be lazy, especially for the Lord. You need to keep busy and mind your own business. You don't want to be so bored that the only thing that you have forward to look that you have looked forward to is somebody else's business. What is it that somebody else is doing? Okay? You shouldn't be that bored. And you shouldn't grow weary working for the Lord, doing what is good and acceptable to God. Paul also gives us instructions on what the church is to do if people do not follow God's instructions. And we normally call this disfellowshipping. Okay, we don't hate the person, but we disfellowship them because they're not doing God's word, and hopefully they'll realize that and will come back to the brotherhood. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or do and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, that pretty much covers anything and everything that we do every day. We're either doing something or we're talking to somebody. You do it all in the name of the Lord. Do everything. By doing this, you give thanks to God the Father through Jesus, his Son. It is impossible to do anything in word or deed if you are lazy or disinterested in doing anything. Then you definitely are not doing anything to please God. Hard to please God or give thanks when you are just idly sitting around doing nothing. We can't be bored of the Lord or his church. We need to be actively doing things. Are you bored of boredom? Okay. We need to thank God that he did not make us spectators, but rather he made us participants. God knew that if we were made spectators, we would become bored with Christianity. So God made us a participant. If I am sidetracked in my Christianity by boredom, it is because I have chosen not to participate. I have had people tell me that, you know what, I've been doing this for X amount of years. It's time for somebody else to do it. Okay? That's not what we read in scriptures. Okay? There's always something that we can do. Always. When we decide that we're not, then we're letting boredom take over. The human brain craves stimulation. When we don't receive proper stimulation, boredom creeps in. When boredom is left unchecked, disgust forms. Things get worse from there. Boredom in small doses is actually healthy. Yes, I said that. Boredom in small doses is actually healthy. Boredom protects you. When you engage in monotonous tasks, listen to monotone speakers or join an organization that accepts mediocrity. Boredom acts as a red flag. Okay, The red flag compels you to get to go deeper, to start something new, or to get creative. Have you ever heard the phrase that laziness is the mother of inventions? Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. Because when you're too lazy to do this task, you think of a way that something else can do it, or you can do it better or faster. Okay. I mean, why was anything created? The car. Well, because we got tired of walking, you know, we got tired of riding a horse. We wanted to get there, you know, tired of taking us, you know, 2 or 3 days to get somewhere when you can do it in just a few minutes with a car. You know, anything that was invented was because of laziness usually. Not everything, okay? But because you're bored, you're thinking of something to do. The red flag compels you to go deeper, to start something new, or to get more creative. But if we are not careful, boredom can easily creep into our faith. Worship gets unfulfilling. You wake up every day content with just going through the motions, and you start being cynical. John 10:10. Why is it that God offers people a life to the fullest, yet many Christians seem to live on life support? Don't just accept complacency. If the red flags are up and you are feeling bored with God, John tells us in chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief is the devil. I, Jesus, have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, not boredom. Life, not laziness. Life, not a robotic life like an assembly line to where you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that over and over and over again. Okay? That's not the life that Jesus came to give us. He came to give us life that is more abundant. And we as Christians should be enjoying that abundant life. If not, then maybe we need to change how we're living our life, how we're viewing things, how we see things. The value, Brian Tracy says that the value of a relationship is in direct proportion to the time that you invest in that relationship. Your relationships with your Christian brothers and sisters, your relationships with your family and friends, your relationships with coworkers, if you have any, and many important other relationships that we have, especially with God. How much time are you investing in those relationships? Maybe those relationships are failing because you are not spending any time in them. Building and having and working on all of your relationships helps you not to be bored, helps you want to be involved in doing things with your relationship, especially the relationship with your Christian family and your all-important relationship with God. So, are you bored with life? Are you bored with your church? Are you bored with everything? Maybe you need to invest some time in what matters most to you. Invest in your friendships. Invest in your church family. Be involved with the church family. There is always things around the building that need work. There is always family members that need help in one way or another. Just a phone call, a card. There are something that you can do. We are all caught up in the internet and entertainment or sports or this or that. There's always something out there that's taking up our time and preventing us, this distracting us from doing things that we should be doing to help build up our relationships. Anything and everything out there is vying for your time. How much time are you leaving for your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ? How much time are you leaving for God? Invest time with God, because it's an investment that lasts throughout eternity. What happens to a friendship if you don't invest time in that friendship? It starts getting thinner and thinner until it goes away, doesn't it? Well, why haven't you called? I don't know. Why haven't we seen each other? I don't know. You know, just time. You know, got involved with this, got involved with that. Same thing holds true with our relationship with God. If we don't work on that relationship, if we do not continually build that relationship, if we do not do things to make that relationship strong, it's going to get thinner and thinner over time until we don't have a relationship with God. Let's look at some Old Testament scriptures that deal with this subject. Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Boredom is the emotional or physical state one experiences due to lack of mental stimulation, activities to do, or interest in one's surroundings. Life is not an action movie. Thus, we will all suffer times of feeling lifelessness. Proverbs 19:15 speaks of how slothfulness can lead to unpleasant circumstances. Experiencing boredom is not a sin, but the attitudes and choices that lead to or arise from being bored may be harmful to a Christian's faith. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Christians must strive to live with passion, not apathy, and overcome boredom with positive productivity. If we are bored because we are lazy, then there's a problem. Proverbs 6 provides a harsh admonition against laziness. Go to the ants, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. They have no captain, no overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, one thing we don't have up here in the Northeast that we had in the Southwest are ant mounds. Now, I remember looking out through our pasture and you'd see these big mounds of ants. Some of them are what we call fire ants. And if you've never been bit by a fire ant, they get their name by that bite, okay? And you can step on a mound and sink up maybe up to your knees. And when you pull that leg out, it's going to be just red with ants. And when they bite you, it's like your leg has been set on fire, okay? But have you ever sat down or gotten close enough and watched what ants do? They don't sit back and enjoy the sun. You know, they don't sit there and be lazy and watch everybody else work. Every single ant in that mound is out doing something. They're either working on their mound, you step on it, and they don't, oh man, we gotta go back through this again. No, they're immediately worker ants coming in there and building it and putting it back together and cleaning it out, and within the next day, that mound will be back again. You have the workers that are going out looking for food. Oh, found some food. Everybody makes a beeline, you know, to grab that food and bring it back to the mound. Just what happened on TV the other day, they were showing some ants. I think it was down in the Amazon. They've got some big ones down there that do a lot of things, and it was where the leaf cutters are at. And they were showing all these ants coming through, and a leaf had fallen down and blocked their path. Everybody just kind of stopped. And these workers come out and literally cut the leaf up and moved it out of the way, and then they started up their path again, you know. But you watch them, and they're always doing something. That is what this is saying. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Watch a mound of ants and what they do all day long. You won't find any sluggish ants. They're constantly moving. A good thing for us as Christians to do one day. I'm giving you permission. Go sit and watch some ants tomorrow. Be lazy. Verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. We as Christians need to make sure that we are not bored to death. We need to make sure that we are alive, that we are alive in Christ, that we are living a full and abundant life for God and for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We can't afford to be sluggish for Christ. That is, that you don't see that on a bumper sticker on anybody's car, will you? Oh, go ahead. Be sluggish for God. No, you're not going to see that. 1 Timothy 5, 13. Timothy is writing about widows in this section, in this chapter. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter for the complete story that he's talking about. In the verses 11 and 12, he's talking specifically to young widows. And that's what he's talking about here. And besides, verse 13, and besides they, the young widows, learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Satan loves idle hands. Having nothing to do leads to lack of motivation, which prevents Christians from pursuing God's will. With no distinct aim or goal in a fallen world, entertainment, depravity, becomes an enticing alternative to boredom. Being idle or bored can lead to gossip and being a busybody, sticking your nose into other people's businesses. We as Christians should not be doing that. And that is what we see here in this scripture. Okay? Be involved in other things. Be involved in the church. Okay? Don't just sit around and become a busybody and a gossiper. Our last verse this morning is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Being in Christ, being a Christian, means that the old person of sin is gone. We are a new creation. All of the old things of this world, like being a sloth or being a sluggard or lazy or bored with life, should have passed away. We need to celebrate in Christ and become a new you. It is never too late to start. Christians can choose not to sin and live in God in a God-honoring manner. Boredom and indifference need not direct our future. Again, it's okay. You've worked hard. You need to sit down and not do anything. That's okay. You need a break. God Himself took a day off. But it's whenever you're doing that over and over and over, and you're getting bored, and you're not doing anything, you're not helping anybody, you're not reading your Bible, you're not doing anything, you know, to help the church. You see where I'm getting, okay? We can't let that kind of boredom creep into and take over our Christian life. We need to constantly be doing something for God. We need to be doing something to work on those relationships, our friendships, to work on our Christian family, and to help each other, and to encourage each other, to be there for each other. All right? If there's any way that we can help you this morning with that Christian life, let us know. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us pray for you. Maybe you haven't put Christ on, and that's something that you need to do. We can take care of that problem too this morning. Again, let your wishes be known as together we stand and sing.